John chapter number 3. As we come to this chapter, we discover a few things about the love of God, about how He moves and works in this world. To get the full context of the passage this morning, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. I want you to follow along with me as we read, and we're going to read several verses here, so I'll read as quickly as I can, but in order to get the context, you follow along with me. The Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen and have and ye receive not our witness. If I have told ye earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God." Again, for emphasis' sake, John 3, verse number 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Say that verse with me, would you? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How many of you, that's the first time you ever heard that verse? None of you. I mean, that's the second time you've ever heard that verse. How many of you have heard that verse so many times you have it memorized? You could say it without looking. Wow, look at that. Look at that. Wonderful. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for loving us. We certainly didn't deserve it, but you did it anyhow. You didn't just love us sitting in this room. God, you loved your entire creation. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, and all in between. Loved each of us. So much so, you gave your Son. Father, as you have given this, as we believe in you and believe what you have done, you have given us a task to take this message of your love and your gift of your Son to the entire world. But Father, may we be reminded this morning that it is because of your love and how your love is determined to these things. Help us in them that we might know, but more importantly, Father, that we might go. Help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Before we get into the main part of the message in John 3:16, we must go back to the beginning of this chapter in John chapter 3 to make the application and set the context of what is taking place here. Now, Nicodemus, the Bible tells us, was a ruler of the Jews. In verse number 10, Jesus asked Nicodemus if he was a master of Israel. Nicodemus was not an unintelligent man, okay? Nicodemus knew some things. Now, I know we're here, it's 2016. This is not the first time we've ever been in John chapter 3. We've heard the term born again multiple times. We have even identified as a born again Christian. And we identify ourselves as such. And so this is not new to us. And so I want you to give Nicodemus just a little bit of slack here, as he is the first one, as far as we're aware, to hear this term described of being born again. Now, while Nicodemus is an intelligent man, he did ask a question that took me back just a little bit, and maybe even a little bit humorous, as Jesus told him, in order for you to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And it left Nicodemus kind of scratching his head a little bit with maybe a bewildered look on his face, and that so much so that he asked the question in verse number 4. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? He's definitely thinking physically here, because he then says, can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was thinking one way, the only way that you can be born. And Jesus very quickly and very rapidly showed him exactly what he was talking about, as he says, verily, verily, in verse number 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He explains in verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, he said in verse 7, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so he tells them, this is a spiritual birth. This has nothing to do with the physical. It's all spiritual. And then, as he continues in verse number 9, Nicodemus says, how can these things be? How can a man be born again? I understand flesh, I understand spirit, but how can these things be? Nicodemus, are you a master of Israel? How is it that you don't know these things? Notice, he says, art thou a master of Israel in verse number 10 and knowest not these things? Verse number 11, he says here, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. He says, Nicodemus, you've heard all of these things. I've told you the heavenly thing, or I've told you the earthly things, and you don't understand. He continues by saying, if I tell you of heavenly things, you're not going to understand that either. He says, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse number 13, he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So Nicodemus wants to know, how can these things be? How can they be? Jesus is getting ready to explain how these things can be. He says in verse number 15 that whosoever believeth in him, that's the Son of Man from verse number 14. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, for God so loved. What a statement! For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This verse here has been spread throughout the entire world. It's the sign you see during baseball games and football games and basketball games, and people will write John 3:16 and they'll put it on a sign. And they'll hold it there and they'll show it all around. And people will come here to find out that God so loved. God's love determines a few things. And I want you to see from this one verse this morning, as we explore what it is to be born again and how does that happen, it happens because God so loved. He loved. And we sit here today, as I trust and I hope, a group of saved individuals, those that have already experienced God's love in your heart and in your life. And if you haven't, I hope you will. I invite you to. And hopefully you'll know what it is to come to know Christ as your Savior. So for us that already know and that we already understand what it is to be born again, why are we coming to this verse today? I think it's important that we are reminded of God's love. I've written in the margin of my Bible, I was looking just before the message, and just to the left of John 3:16, I have written Aaron Smith next to John 3:16. Needed to remind myself that I'm part of this world. You might write in next to you, in the margin of your Bible, your name, that you might be reminded that God loved you. You see, while this is a general verse, it is also a specific verse. It encompasses everyone. And I want you to know, as we look at this, God's love in John 3:16, as he's explaining to Nicodemus that ye must be born again. If you're going to have eternal life, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, ye must be born again. But it is God's love that determined something. And I want you to notice first off that God's love determined the scene. Who was going to be loved? I think it's quite amazing here that God chose to use this word world. You want to know the scene that God said? He said it on the world. God's love was shed upon the entire world. I want you to go back to John chapter 1. I want you to see this foundational verse here in John chapter 1 as Jesus is being introduced as the Word of God and as the Word from heaven coming down from God. The Bible says, in verse number 8, we'll start there. It says, or actually go back to verse number 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was sent into the world, this world that was made by him, this world, that he was there when God spoke and it came into existence. It was this world that he created, that God sent him to. Why? Because God so loved. And it was God's love that determined this scene that is in our heart and that is in our minds. That is, God determined this love, as God's love determined this world would be the scene upon which he would then determine the sacrifice. You see, this love for the world that he gave his son. Oh my. He created this. And the Bible says that when he came into his own received him not. You see, it was his own creation that said no. It was his own creation that rejected him. It was his own rejection, and yet the love of God determined the scene would be the world, and the love of God determined the sacrifice would be his son. You see, there was a problem with the world. The problem, we know, is sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Oh. There's a problem. This world's dying. And the world dying without a Savior means they won't see the kingdom of God. Won't have any part of God in them. And God won't have any part in them. And so because, though, God loved the world, it determined the sacrifice. His love did. Say, didn't he love his son? Oh, most certainly. He still chose the sacrifice based upon his love. John describes it like this in the first epistle that he gave. He said, we love God not because we loved God first, but God loved us first. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Why do we love God? Well, we love God because God loved us. Amen. And we have the opportunity. Why? Because God sent and determined with his love the sacrifice that would be placed upon and for this world that he created. His son. His son. Oh, there's much we could say about this son. If we had time, we could go through the book of John. And we could go through, as Nicodemus said. He said, Master, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Oh, we could go through. We could talk about how Jesus fed the 5,000. 5,000 men plus women and children. Really knows how many was there. But he fed all of them. Can you imagine? We always throw a big Thanksgiving dinner here at Crossroads. Anytime we eat, I always am concerned about, are we going to have enough food? We're going to have enough food. Anybody ever worried about that? I don't know, Brother Don, has there ever been a time that we just ran out of food? I mean, there was nothing left. I don't think so. Now, you may have ran out of what you wanted, but I don't think we've ever just plain all ran out of food. But it's always a concern to me. Are we going to run out of food? There's been times Rachel will come to me and she's like, I don't think we have enough food. Yeah. And yet we always have enough food. That's 100 people, maybe 120 on Thanksgiving. We're concerned about all of that. I can't imagine 5,000 showing up, Brother Greg. You know what? We'd probably run out of food. Or Greg would have to go to Walmart, get some chicken, something. But here's Jesus. These people followed him out there, and they're on the hillside, and I guarantee you somebody somewhere along the line said, I'm hungry. And Jesus said, we can't send them on their way. It's too far. Anybody have any food? disciples start to scramble. They find one boy, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Now, I don't know what the disciples were thinking when they brought the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe they were thinking they were just going to feed Jesus. That'd be a fair assessment, don't you think? I mean, if anybody should eat, it should be Jesus. He needs his strength. He needs to, you know, all of that. So we have 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Jesus says, make them all sit down. Group them up. Let me get some baskets. And he blesses the food. Man, I'd love to know what he said. Wouldn't you? How exactly did that prayer go, Jimbo? I don't know. But when he blessed it, they started handing it out. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Everybody got some, and everyone was full. Everyone. And then they had 12 baskets over, leftovers. No man can do that except he's sent from God. The disciples are on the boat. One of my favorite stories. They're on the boat. They're going to the other side. It's a little stormy. It's a little shaky. And something they see off in the distance. What is that? Ooh, it's a ghost. It's a spirit. What is that, they said. Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. One of them said, oh, it's the Lord. No, it can't be the Lord. He doesn't have a boat. Paddle boards weren't around. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, you bid me to come out there with you. Jesus said, come on. Peter starts walking on the water. It's his son. His son could do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Here's Jesus walking into town. A little beggar guy sitting over in the entryway to the city. Who's that coming? Is it Jesus? Is Jesus, that's what you said? Jesus! Thou son of David! Have mercy on me! Over and over. What's your name? Bartimaeus. Been blind since birth. Thy faith has made thee whole. Sees for the first time. There's the maniac of Gadara. Running around, not clothed. Not in his right mind. They've tried everything for the man. They've chained him up. He busts out. They finally just cast him out of town. He runs around in the wilderness. Till Jesus comes by. The devils that were in him came and worshiped. Saying again, same thing, have mercy. He says, what is thy name? He said, it's Legion, for we are many. Don't kill us. May we be put in the swine. Jesus cast them out into the swine. They run off to the water. And there's this maniac that no one could control. He couldn't even control himself. The Bible describes him as sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind. Whew. Why? Because Jesus came by. For God so loved the world that he gave. His son. Jesus. We could go on and on. But I think about the time when Jesus stood before Pilate and Pilate asked him, "What is truth? Are you or are you not?" Jesus said, "Did some man tell you this? What is truth?" The fact of the matter is, Jesus is truth. And they took truth, crucified him, placed him upon the cross of Calvary, driving a crown of thorns upon his head and nails into his hands and into his feet, placing him between two thieves. It's Jesus. Why? Why must he die? Because God so loved the world. You see, God's love determined the scene, the world. God's love determined the sacrifice, his son, who died upon the cross. As he hung there, he said, "It is finished." And the Bible describes him as giving up the ghost and dying. As they took him off the cross, they put him in a borrowed tomb from a man by the name of Joseph, said, "He can have mine." They prepared his body and they placed his body in the grave. They rolled a stone in front of it and placed two soldiers on guard lest someone would come and steal the body of Jesus. Little did they know that no stone could hold him. Hey, the stone wasn't rolled away for Jesus. It was rolled away for us. That grave couldn't contain him. That grave couldn't leave him there. That grave had no power over him, for he had the power. For it was on the third day, just as he said, that he rose up from that grave. Why? Because God so loved. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. God's love determined the sacrifice. But can I tell you that God's love determines the sequence? Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again." Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God determined the sequence. He said, "Ye must be born again." How are you born again? Believe and be saved. Done. God's love determined this. He said, yes, the scene, the source, it's the world within that. He said, the sacrifice is his son. But the sequence, he says, believe and be saved. Here we are. That whosoever, for God so loved the world. Just in case you weren't sure that if you were part of this world or not, you are a whosoever. Yes. Aren't you glad? Amen. God's love did this for you. This sequence, it's not about what I have to do to be saved. It's not about what I have to earn. I can't buy it. There's no amount of money in the world that could buy this. It's free. to all, no matter how much money you don't have, no matter how much money you do have. It's not about culture. It's not about having something. It's not about being a part of something. It's not about earning something. It's about this wonderful gift from God. That is the sequence. Believe and be saved. For what? God's love determines the scene, which is the world, and God's love determines the sacrifice, His Son, and God's love determines the sequence, believe and be saved. God's love also determines the scope, everlasting life. So, okay, I believe and I'm saved for what? For everlasting life. Oh, man. See, I'm going to pass from this life unto life eternal. You see, this flesh and this blood in which you see, it's not really me. I know this may be confusing to some of you, but it's not really me. I don't know where me is, where I am. But it's not really me. I'm somewhere tucked down inside. And one of these days, this flesh and blood that you see is going to remain here, but I'm going somewhere else. I like how the songwriter said it, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue." Hallelujah. Eternal life is what I'm... You say, but you're going to die physically. No, just this flesh. But I'm going to get a new body. A heavenly body. A perfect body. Oh. You say, that one looks pretty good to me. I don't know. It's not perfect, though. It's got some flaws, I tell you. But my new one? You say, I'm just going to pass from this life into life eternal. Oh, what about that one that doesn't know Christ? What about that one that hasn't been born again? He's going to pass from this life in the flesh unto everlasting death, to eternal death and damnation in hell. You see, God so loved. This is not an exclusive love that is reserved for just you and me. This is a love that knows no end. But people must know. I introduce this to remind you, yes, what God did for you. But not just you. But for the world. So what's missions all about? Doesn't everybody know this? No. Hey, let me fill you in on something. Not everybody in America knows this. So I thought everybody was a Christian. No. Not everyone's believed and has been saved. But we have to give them an opportunity. The Bible tells us in Romans, how shall they hear? Or how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? You see, when we send missionaries out from here, we're sending them to sometimes the uttermost part of the earth. And we're sending them with this verse among other verses that God so loved. We're sending them with this message that God so loved. Loved you. You see, the difficulty comes in is whether or not you love. Not whether or not you love God. But what about the world? You say, well, they're so different from me. Yeah, and you're different from them. But does that change what Jesus said to do? He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world, all of it, and preach the gospel to every creature. All nations. All nations. Every race, every creed, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl needs to hear that God loves them. And what He did, what His love determined. You see, that's what missions is really all about. It's all about God's love. And whether or not you're going to take that love and send it somewhere else. What are you going to do with this? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I've never accepted this gift. Do it today. Do it today. You say, well, I'm not really into that missions thing. It's just more about my money. No, look. Is it really? I mean, keep your money if that's what you think. We'll get it done. I mean, you can have a part in this. It's more than about money. It's about people. We're going to emphasize this over the next month or so. We'll have missions conference. We'll start on Wednesday night. We'll go through Sunday. And hopefully, as you yield your heart and your mind and your spirit to God, that He'll speak to you. Not in an audible way. Sometimes I wish He would. It'd make it a whole lot easier. But God has already revealed through His Word what He wants done with the gospel. And what your part can be in it. It's just whether or not you're going to obey. But God so loved. That's why He did it. May His love determine that you'll be a part. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart concerning how what you could might do in the area of missions, won't you move? God loves you, and He loves the entire world. Let it move upon your heart this morning, will you? Our Heavenly Father, I ask that You'd help us in this. God, that we would allow Your love to determine what our next step would be. God, You set the scene, not us. You laid the sacrifice of Your Son. You put these things into motion and into sequence, and You determined the scope, all of it, with Your love. Move within our midst this morning. That Your love would determine our next step. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.